morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. It is July 23rd, 2021. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. This episode is live recorded with our Patreon friends. So you may hear me talking to them during the episode. So today's episode is brought to you by Kiki's book, A Curious Future. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "The summer night is like a perfection of thought," by Wallace Stevens. All right. So what are we drinking today in my Buffy mug? We are drinking Leo tea. So in honor of all of our Leo birthdays, Leo tea is oolong tea mixed with rooibos and orange peel, which boosts Leo's self-confidence and sunny disposition. Leos are at the center of every tea party, entertaining the crowd with their creative charms. Chamomile and vanilla smooth this zesty blend, while the red safflower is an eye-popping touch of color that Leos can show off to all of their friends. I really love Leos. I know I've said this before, but like out of all the zodiac signs other than my own sign, because I'm an Aries and we like ourselves, I love a Leo. I cannot explain it. They just win. They win me every single time. All right. So for today's herbal segment, we are going to talk about chamomile. And we've talked about chamomile quite a bit, but we're going to kind of come at it from like a gardener's point of view. So this comes to us from growforageCookFerments.com. And I do have a link in the podcast description, so you don't have to remember that. So let's go. Chamomile. Everyone loves chamomile, right? It was like my really first introduction to herbal tea when I was young, because I grew up in the South and we drink black tea. So we're going to talk about 10 reasons to grow chamomile in your garden. So number one, chamomile is an excellent companion plant. Chamomile is naturally antibacterial and antifungal, so it is the perfect plant for companion planting. Plant them around your apple or other fruit trees to prevent fungal infections. Next, chamomile attracts beneficial insects. In conjunction with being a companion plant, chamomile attracts insects such as wasps, ladybugs, and honeybees, because they are all very attracted to chamomile, apparently. Oh, and supposedly it helps deter mosquitoes, which we need right now. Chamomile tea can be used in the garden. Chamomile tea isn't just good for you, it's also good for your garden. Brew some up and use it in a spray bottle on seedlings to help prevent damping off, a common fungal infection. Chamomile plants are a green mulch and are good for compost. So since chamomile is high in nutrients and grows a large amount of greenery, it makes a great mulch for chopping and dropping. This simply means cutting the plant down at the end of the season and leaving it in place as a natural mulch. Chamomile flowers are edible and delicious. Edible flowers. So, we know salads, right? Everyone likes to put their edible flowers in salads. You have dandelions, etc. But you can also put chamomile in desserts, strawberry chamomile cake, lemon chamomile shortbread cookies. And if either of those sounds good to you, the link in the podcast description has links to these recipes. So check them out. Chamomile also promotes relaxation and sleep. And I think this is kind of like what we already associate chamomile with. So I'm not super surprised. Chamomile is good for your digestion, and it's also great for skin and healthcare. Chamomile is a really common ingredient in skin and hair care products, so it is soothing if you have itchy or dry skin, which I really, really have. So you can make your own soap with chamomile to help try to alleviate that. All right, witches. Moving into some headlines. This comes to us from CheatSheet.com. Paranormal Activity had Steven Spielberg convinced his DVD of the movie was haunted. I'm really enjoying all of these articles coming out about like horror movie, like icons being afraid of things. I just think it's really fun. I kind of wanted to share it. Also, if you haven't heard, it's Halloween already. People have decided it's Halloween because we deserve it. And also, Bath and Body Works apparently has a whole Halloween collection, which I don't know if they've ever had that before. I really like Bath and Body Works, because I like candles, obviously. And I'm seeing all of these Halloween candles I just don't remember seeing before. So it's Halloween now. That's all. So, yeah, this was written by Audrey Rock. There was never anything normal about Paranormal Activity. I love that movie, by the way. But did you know that Steven Spielberg was convinced his copy of the movie was haunted? We're taking a look at how this low-budget flick became the standard when it comes to found footage style terror. As a Blair Witch lover, let's just be careful with what we say about found footage and like who did it best, because like it's all good. In 2019, no, in 2009, the Los Angeles Times reported something rather alarming. Spielberg had reportedly taken a DVD of Paranormal Activity to his estate in Pacific Palisades in 2008, and DreamWorks was mulling over a decision on whether or not to get involved with the independent film. So, for those of you who may not remember, or if you just like weren't involved with like horror stuff at the time, Paranormal Activity was made very cheaply. It cost $15,000 to make. I think the actors only got paid a few hundred dollars, and after it blew up, they had to like seriously rework like their contracts because, they were, I mean, it was a hit, right? We've had like 30 more since. So apparently Steven Spielberg watched it, and not long afterward, his bedroom door locked. No big deal, except that the room was empty and it was locked from the inside. According to the LA Times, Spielberg, unreasonably spooked, hired a locksmith and removed the disc from his home, delivering it back to DreamWorks in a garbage bag of all things. He didn't dispose of it altogether because, well, he liked the movie. Oren Peli had crafted a really nicely terrifying little movie about what happens when a demonic possession occurs in mundane normalcy of a suburban cookie-cutter home. Basically, that's where the lore surrounding this 2006 shoestring budget movie begins and ends, of course. We know it was a big hit. There's a million thousand more. People love it. Love, love. But I do think it's a really funny little story. All right, witches, I'm gonna throw this over to our moon correspondent. Then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro gods and goddesses. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, July 23rd. The waxing gibbous moon continues to scale the cliffs of Capricorn today. Here, the moon joins Pluto and opposes Mercury. Today is the day for the hard questions, for looking at our deep and lonely secrets and finally putting words to that which we've cloaked for so long. Pluto is digging up these truths, and Mercury is encouraging us to speak them, to unburden ourselves. We've likely been carrying these weights for so long that we don't realize how heavy they are. It's only when we find a way to lay them down that we realize that we are not this dense. Speak to a professional, find a friend, write your feelings into a journal. Seek a way to pull what's inside out. You will be surprised how light you are without so much dark. Your daily moon mantra is, forgive yourself first. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
We have been obsessed with predicting the future ever since the dawn of civilization. We've watched the stars, gazed into crystal balls, thrown bones, and read cards with the hope of getting a glimpse of future events. We have found ways to divine with just about everything, all in an effort to better understand ourselves and our place in the magical world. A Curious Future by Kiki Dombrowski is your guidebook to a variety of divination practices. Did you know that you can divine with wine? Or that a simple pair of dice can give you prophetic insight? Or that candle wax may help answer questions about your inquisitive inquiries? This book will help you predict the future through a variety of insights and sometimes unusual techniques. This greatly expanded second edition offers extended interpretations, additional reflective passages, and even more choices of curious divination to try. Learn different methods for awakening your psychic abilities to support your exploration into divination. Learn how to scry, use dowsing rods, read tea leaves, work with runes, see auras, decipher omens and clouds, and much more. A Curious Future can help you move forward into a mystical and inspiring path. A Curious Future by Kiki Dombrowski is now available for pre-order on Amazon and other places books are sold. All right, so we have a witch win. This comes to us from listener Jamie. Jamie writes, "Serious witch win. My roommate has a couple of home businesses and she sells at farmers markets. She wasn't getting any attention, so she asked me to enchant some jewelry for her. So I did, just a small little spell to help her out. Yesterday, she wore them." What's them? Did you just do a bunch of jewelry? "And she said she had her most productive day yet. I'm so happy for her, and it makes my little witch heart sing." You just reminded me of something. When I was a younger witch, I had like an older witch friend. She was Wiccan for like 30 years, and she really took me under her wing. Spent a lot of time together, but she told me, and this was after 30 years of practicing, and she told me, she's like, "It's so funny. We as witches, we do all these things to manifest, to bring good things, to et cetera, et cetera." And she's like, "Yet every time when it works, we're still just a little surprised." And yeah, I think it dulls a little bit over time because, like, you know what you're doing and you've gotten better at it. But yeah, every time you're just like, "Oh, look at me, little witch." So thanks so much for sharing, Jamie. All right, moving into some magic. We are talking water scrying. So who knew that this was going to be a water-heavy episode? So this is from Which Way Magazine, July 2021 issue, and we are talking about water scrying. And this comes to us from writer Dennis Quinlan. Dennis is a writer, horror enthusiast, and student of the occult. His practice is a personal blend of witchcraft, chaos magic, and druidry. When not writing, he enjoys reading tarot on the subway, inscribing chalk sigils onto the side of buildings, and performing sacred rites near an old oak tree in the park. He currently resides in New York City with his partner and their dog. And you can learn more at DennisJohnQuinlan.com. So talk about water scrying. This could be really helpful to our water enthused listener from earlier. So throughout human history, the concept of divination has fascinated us as a species. Around the world and over the course of history, different cultures have developed different means to gain insight. Some choose to use cards such as tarot or oracle decks, while others use crystal pendulums to find the answers they seek. However, not everyone has access to such tools. There are times when you are forced to work simply and effectively when it comes to your divination. For those who only have access to basic things, water scrying can be a helpful practice. All it requires is water and possibly a vessel to hold it in. Scrying is a type of divination. It's similar. It really plays on like clairvoyancy. The idea is that you're seeing things. However, side note, in my personal opinion, a lot of scrying is really about just focusing on something so heavily that you kind of disassociate a little bit from the physical plane and your psychic abilities are a little bit more heightened. But let's continue. Scrying is not particularly well defined, having many subsets and differing cultures and tools and ways to, and sometimes even a little bit different definitions depending on the medium used or the practitioner. It is more of an umbrella term than a single definitive concept or practice. So when we scry, we are usually using our eyes to quote unquote see something. Something that the universe, our subconscious, or certain spirits or deities we work with like wish to reveal to us. This can come in the form of visual images, sounds, feelings, mental images, or some sense of knowing. It is an immensely versatile form of divination because there are so many ways to approach it. I love scrying for its simplicity. It's a true practice of people in that it does not require any objects you would not normally have in your day-to-day life. Water scrying in particular has a special place in my heart, as it has been something I've had interest in since I was a child. I've always found the water to be powerful and a mystical thing that holds untold secrets just below the surface. I grew up fishing in the ocean. I would look into the water and see images swirling around within, just out of sight. As I later developed my practice, I learned how to allow those images to come to me and how to interpret what I see. It is not an overnight process, and taking someone from having zero knowledge to being a competent diviner is well beyond the scope of this article, right? This is just a glimpse into how I personally go about it so that you may practice and hone your skills should you be so inclined. When we gaze into the water, we aren't looking at the water. Our focus should not be on the medium itself. And this is true for candle scrying, crystal scrying, fire scrying, etc. It is merely a channel to help us receive the message. With our eyes, we need to look through what is in front of us instead of looking directly at it. This is done by relaxing your vision. Allow your vision to blur as your eyes focus on nothing while taking in everything. This may take some practice. If this concept is confusing for you, try this. Take something like a pencil or your index finger and put it between your face and the words on this page. Do you notice how the words behind it start to blur as you focus on the object and vice versa? This is the effect that we're looking for. Now, take away the object, but still try to look toward the point it was at. Do you see the words start to blur? If so, we're good to go. If not, keep at it. We call these things spiritual practices for a reason. They require practice. Now, take that relaxed vision and glance at the water. This can be from running water, like a river, to still, like a pond, a bowl of water, or anything meant to hold liquid with an open top. I personally prefer running water, but most days I just settle for some tap water in a bowl. Allow your mind to relax. This process is not something that can be rushed or forced. The signs, whether visual or otherwise, will come at their own time, so be patient. Much like meditation or astral work, just allow yourself to open up without judging the experience. It is perfectly okay if nothing happens at first. Like I said, this takes practice. And sometimes that requires putting in a little bit of work to find what works best for you. Sometimes the visions we get while scrying are confusing. They may not seem relevant, or we may be unable to pluck out some semblance of meaning from the mixture of sensory input that we're getting. This happens, and there is nothing wrong with that. These things deal with a lot of symbolism, metaphors, and loose associations, which can all be incredibly subjective. This is why I suggest having a journal to write down your experiences. Oftentimes, things will make sense once we have context. We'll experience an event and suddenly remember the symbols we saw while scrying, and it all starts to make sense. Give it some time. These things are incredibly subjective. So, what one symbol means for someone else may have a different meaning for you. Ultimately, successful scrying comes from having an open mind and unbiased mindset. Allow the message to come how it wishes to come and be willing to accept it when it arrives. If you find that water scrying does not work for you, fear not. It does not mean you cannot scry, just that this particular method is not what is best suited for you at this time. Experiment with different methods until you find something that works. As long as you go with the flow, you'll be just fine. All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I do want to give some shout outs. My first shout out is for listener Sherry Taylor. Sherry, you thoughtful, bedazzled witch. And my second shout out is Jamie Leon. Jamie, you powerful, loyal sun goddess. Thank you two so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate you. And before we leave today, we do have a card pull. This is one of the last cards we're doing from the Witch Daily Oracle deck. So the card is Oracle. It means not set in stone or unknown. Timing unknown, yes or no, unknown. Contributed by Lana. Riddle me this. What do you say about an oracle? A little about the fact that the future is not set in stone. It is you who decides how you handle what you get to know. All readings, fate is not yet determined. This situation is one that could truly go either way. The oracles are at a standstill and are looking to you to determine how this goes. This is a powerful position of being your own destiny creator. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources, or anything else we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will talk again next week.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.